You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host. And today I am broadcasting live with just a little touch of Southern flavor. I know you love that, from beautiful, awesome, magnificent Atlanta, Georgia. Guess what? I'm so grateful that you've joined me from all over the globe today. And if you are listening at this very moment, guess what? It's a setup. That's right. The Spirit of God has attracted you here supernaturally so that you can hear, receive, recognize, and begin to implement universal principles that will help you to create what your dreams beyond whatever you could even imagine. Well, how are you doing? I hope that you are having a great day today. It is certainly summertime and the living is easy here in Atlanta. It has been a hot week, but I am grateful to be here to share with you. Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge and to thank all of you who have been sending me emails from all over the globe, my goodness, and just letting me know how much this show is really shifting and changing your life. Many of you have asked me, when is your mentor James Powers coming back? Well, we are trying to coordinate our schedules, and he will be back over the next 8 weeks, and I have certainly forwarded him your emails letting him know how many of you are ready for him to come back and share his vast knowledge. And if you want to send me an email letting me know how much this show is changing your life, you can email me at Constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And while you're on my website, take a look at that red donate button on the top right-hand side of my website page. And I know this show is blessing you, nourishing your soul, giving you life. And I'm just grateful to give you the opportunity to donate. And I'm thanking you in advance. Let's see what else. And while you're on that page, take a look at my blog. You can see some pictures of me and some things that I do and have been doing. And also, you can read some of my blogs that I've written over the last couple of weeks. Really excited about my show today. My very special guest is Will Downing. And how many of you love his music? Wow, it's simply amazing. I've been listening to him for years, and the song that I like the most that I've been listening to, by the way, all week long is The Nearness of You. You know, he has a way of just taking a song and making it classic, and possibly that's why he's been in the business for 28 years, and I'm really excited to hear what he has to say about his life, his stardom, and just some life lessons that we can learn from him. So let's go to these quick commercials, and then I will be right back with the one and only Mr. Will Downing.
For the past 30 years, Constance Arnold has coached clients globally in the areas of relationships, wealth, and career. Her vast clinical background gives her extraordinary understanding of human behavior to accelerate manifestation. Every coaching client receives proven action plans to create change from the inside out. Constance will be right by your side. Talk to her today at Constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, I'm back and I'm really excited, really excited about my guest today. Let me properly introduced him, one of the greatest voices of all times. Will Downing is known as the Prince of Sophisticated Soul. His voice is one of the most recognizable voices in R&B. He has recorded 19 albums. Isn't that something? And he has stood the test of time over a 28-year career. And obviously, he has unquestionably become a living example of the absolute best that smooth R&B and soul has to offer. These are just a few of his accomplishments. In 2012, he was honored for Song of the Year, The Blessed. In 2013, for Song of the Year, You Were Meant Just for Me, and voted in 2014, Male Artist of the Year. And his latest album is entitled Chocolate Drops. Ooh, that sounds yummy. And I'm so excited to share with you this great man. I wanted to say man of God. I don't know why I felt led to say that. So this great man. So Will Downing, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Oh, thank you very much. And thank you for that amazing introduction. Man, you almost made me feel like I did something in my lifetime.
It ain't nothing but the truth.
I've
been listening to you all week since I knew that I was going to interview you. And my favorite, I know you heard it, my favorite song is The Nearness of You. And I've listened to it about 20 times this week. So I'm really feeling your vibe. So.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I love that song as well. Thank you. It's off the project that I did with Gerald Albright. Yeah,
right.
That song as well. Thank you.
So you've been in the business 28 years. I guess my first question to you is, when did you realize that you could really sing? And by that, I mean, you know, when you started singing and then people's mouths drop open and that's when you realize, wow, I really can sing. When did you know that?
Well, actually, I didn't know that. A teacher kind of pointed it out to me. I was singing in school, and a teacher was listening and just thought that I had something a little special, a little extra something than the other kids didn't have. And, you know, he kind of pointed me in the right direction and, you know, got me into a music school, and I started studying, and, you know, then I just would sing. So I, you know, primarily started out as a background vocalist, so you never really got to hear me in that light. And after I kind of learned the ropes a little bit, I jumped into the solo arena, and folks seem to like what they hear. So that was 19 albums ago.
Well, and so it sounds like it was a God-given talent, plus you developed your skill.
Well, definitely. I mean, we always give praise to the Most High first, and, you know, you have to use and utilize the gifts that you've been given. And, you know, cultivate it. So that's exactly what I did. I didn't, you know, you see kids, they come out and they're immediately thinking that they're stars and solo artists. And I came up the hard way. I came up under a whole bunch of folks, you know, basically teaching me what to do and finding my sound and all of that. So, you know, I learned the hard way.
Okay. And so what was your first big breakthrough and how did you feel?
I don't know. I don't know if I can point out like one big breakthrough. To me, my whole life and career has been a series of things that just sort of happened. And when it did happen, I was just prepared. I remember hearing myself on the radio for the very first time. And I remember that being like a crazy exciting time. I couldn't dial the phone fast enough. And yes, I said dial. It was a rotary phone. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta call somebody. And you know, it kind of fueled the fire, and it was a good enhancement for me to keep doing what I do.
Yeah.
So, and I get excited to this day when I hear myself.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. So, I mean, I love it that you said, and I always tell people, sometimes success seems mundane. You get up every day and you do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't look like anything is happening or changing, but I always say God is behind the scenes, you know, orchestrating things on our behalf as long as we're prepared.
That's right. Yeah, you got to do your part. You know, it's not you can't just pray on it and wait. You know, you got to play your part as well. You have to play your role.
So did you visualize yourself successful before it actually happened? Or did you see it in your mind? Or what was your thinking around that?
Well, I mean, I think anyone that's an artist you know, we all have ego. So, you know, you have to see yourself as being, you know, this incredible star. And anyone, any artist that tells you anything otherwise is lying.
And lying, lying.
So, I mean, I was definitely preparing myself for, you know, the ultimate stardom. And it never came. I mean, very few artists kind of reach the stature of like your Michael Jacksons or your Princes or your Whitney Houstons. But I'm happy with my career. You know, I've seen a lot of people move at a much faster pace than I have, but have much shorter careers. And I think that for me, the longevity is a lot more important than the hit and miss.
You know, that's so true.
I've been really pleased with, you know, the way my life and career is kind of, you know, mapped out.
Because
worked out.
Because anytime I listen to your music, it's just wow. It's like it fits for the now. So why do you think you've sustained your success for 28 years? What was
well,
that?
Well, I've always kind of likened it to, you know, doing songs that I think people can identify with. I don't sing about, you know, mansions and Rolls Royces, and, you know, I sing about reality-based things. I mean, you know, we talk about relationships, the good and the bad. We talk about things that, you know, folks of a certain age can relate to. So I think that's what it is. It's almost like a friend talking to friends, and people can relate to it. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with having a good song as well. You know, can't go wrong there. So I've been very fortunate to have a lot of good songs that have been written for me, great songs that I've kind of remade, and songs that I've written. So, you know, with that combination, you really can't go wrong.
So kind of give our listeners, especially my international listeners, if you have not heard his music, which I know a lot of you have, you've got to go out and purchase it because it's just so wonderful. So just give us what a day looks like for you. Do you get up and meditate and pray, and then you
Well, every day starts
music?
Up with a prayer, you
okay.
know, and being thankful first and foremost. Long before I start asking, I you know, give thanks, you know, for waking up and everything that I have and the way life has worked out for me, and, you know, even for the things that haven't worked out to my benefit, in some way, shape, or form, there was a bigger plan that you have to look at, and you have to realize, and that there was a lesson to be learned. So I'm even thankful for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of start vocalizing a little bit and warm up, and then I do what everyone else does. I get on the internet and I putz around a little bit, check my emails, and send out a couple of texts, mm-hmm. and then we get to work. If I have some recording to do, I start recording. I have a little radio show of my own, so I do that as well. And, you know, it's a very well-balanced day. You know, a little bit of music, a little bit of business, you know, a little bit of dealing with the family. I'm cooking at the same time I'm talking to you. So, you know, I get it in.
So interesting. And so what success tips? I mean, you've been in the business 28 years. You look so young. I looked at your pictures and I'm like, my God, he still looks young. Is he drinking a green drink every day? I don't know what he's doing.
No, that's Photoshop. Thank God for technology.
Yes. So what are some success tips that you could share with listeners just about life in general?
Well, one of the tips, or a few of the tips that I kind of live by, is to not take this thing too seriously. If you're trying to break into this business, mm-hmm. you know, if you push too hard, you'll never make it. Mm-hmm. And to realize that there's more to life than doing this. I mean, trust me, this is a fun job at times. But, you know, if you don't have something else to fall back on, if you don't, even if it's just a hobby, you'll go nuts because you're always, you know, and I was this person, always waiting by the telephone, waiting for it to ring to see if there was another job.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more to life than this. So have a well-rounded life. Another thing that I always tell people is musically, be consistent and be you. Mm-hmm. You know, no one can be you but you. It was a song years ago entitled that, and that's a very true statement. Be yourself at all times. Don't follow the trends because the trends always change. And for me, I think that was, you know, one of the keys to my longevity was, you know, being myself. I was never like a person that would sing a song or sing songs that's up-tempo, you know, because of the changing times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good ballad, a good mid-tempo song lasts forever. A great song lasts forever and always go for quality.
Yeah. So how do you deal with rejection? What can you share with people about, you know, maybe people have started a business or they thought they had a great idea and it didn't work out, or a relationship that did not work out, or maybe they have written a book and submitted to a publisher and they said no. What's your take on dealing with rejection?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, you have those old sayings that are very true. Everything ain't for everybody. Mm-hmm. Just because one person doesn't like it doesn't mean that it's, you know, not right for another. When I was first starting out and, you know, going from door to door trying to get a record deal, I heard plenty of no's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that you have to kind of get used to. You're going to hear more no's than you hear yeses. But if you really believe in your product and you really believe in yourself, we live in a time and a day and age where you should commit financially to yourself. If you don't need a record company, you can be your own record company. That's the joy of the internet. You have access to the same folks in the world that everyone else does. So if you really feel that strongly about what you're doing, then commit to yourself. Then, you know, self-finance it. Do it yourself. You know, sell it out the trunk of your car. You know, sell it on the internet. I mean, there's many people that started their careers out like that. So, you know, with entertainment, entertainment's a very fickle thing. You know, it's not like there's any one set of rules that folks live by. It, you know, people have made it based on different strange things that have happened. So if you really believe in yourself, you know, commit to financially to yourself and to your craft and see what happens.
So tell me the role of God, spirituality, and faith in your success.
Well, in 2007, I got really, really, really sick.
I read about that.
Yeah, I contracted something called polymyositis, and it's a muscular disease. And it put me on my back and in a wheelchair and in a hospital bed for about, I mean, collectively, probably like a year and change. And when you have that kind of time to think, you reflect on a whole lot of things. And I got a lot closer to God when I had that time to really reflect on my life and the things that I was doing, things that I could have done better. And I took that as a life learning lesson. And I changed. You know, as I said earlier, I was that person who was chasing the dream and chasing the money and doing one thing, the music thing, and, you know, neglected my family in some ways and didn't live my life. And I was given a second opportunity, as far as I'm concerned,
yeah,
to kind of get it right. So now I get it right. You know, like I said, it's a well-balanced day. I give a little bit to God. I give a lot to God.
Yeah.
I give a little bit to my family. I give a little bit to my career, you know, and I keep a level head. This is just something that I do. It's not all of who I am.
And so what was it in you, Will, and I'm talking to listeners who might be frustrated, might feel stuck. What was it in you that gave you the hope day after day that while this sickness, I'm going to be healed, I'm going to be well? What was that? And how did you do that? And how can people listening, they may not be sick, but they might, their money might be sick, or, you know, or their career, it may be anything. How did you do that?
The one thing that you have to do is you have to realize that your blessings don't necessarily have to come in this huge truck. You know, it's not like your life is going to change. You're not going to have one day and then you're going to have too much the next. So you have to kind of take your blessings for what they are, and you have to see them for what they are. For me, when I was sick, the one thing that would always give me a little bit of hope was there was something that I could do this day that I couldn't do yesterday. And it might be something as small as moving your finger.
Mm-hmm.
It might be something as small as, you know, if you sold one CD today, and, you know, it gives you a little hope. Okay, there's one person out there. Maybe there's another. Maybe the next day you'll sell two. Maybe the day after that you'll, you know, you always have to take the little things. Stop waiting for this big abundance of a blessing to come through the sky and hit you on top of the head. You have to look at it for what it is. You know, you woke up today, so you have another opportunity. A lot of folks didn't.
So yeah.
That's a good start right there, you know.
You're in the right line. I love that.
You know, and that's the way you have to look at life to me. When I was laying there, don't get me wrong, I was definitely the woe is me mm-hmm. type person, and, you know, and I was going through that. But then, you know, little things would happen, and I go, okay, well, that's progress. It may not seem like a lot to another person, but yesterday I couldn't do that.
Mm.
And that's the way you have to live your life.
You know, that's a powerful principle, Will. And you don't know this, but every week I say the power of small baby steps. And
yeah.
And I have a saying, I think I stole it from somebody, so it's not mine legally. I heard somebody say, God multiplies small things. What we think is small, God can multiply that. And so for listeners, I want you to really, you know, just receive the hope that is really emanating from Will, that, you know, just any small thing that happens in your life, be grateful for it. You know, Will, a great example of that in my own life was I have a donate button for anyone who wants to donate to my show. And one lady gave $5, and I always emailed them back personally instead of my assistant. And then she said to me, you don't have to email me back. And I emailed her back and said, yes, I do, because I am grateful for every, to me, this $5 could be $5 million.
Right.
So I am just really grateful. So that's a great tip, you know, for listeners who are listening.
Yeah, I mean, I live by that principle. I've been able to put, you know, my kids through college based on that principle. The same way, the same thing that you just said, what I would do when my kids were first born is I would take, you know, $5 or $10 from every show, and I'd put it aside and put it into their account. But when, you know, that stuff adds up, it may not seem like it's a lot when you're putting it in. You know, it's only $5, it's $2, it's whatever it is. But over the course of a life of 18 years, you know, when they turn 18 years old, you can turn to them and go, hey, this is what I've saved up for you. And you'd be shocked, you know, when it's all said and done, based on how committed you are. You have to be committed, and you have to give back. You know, you'll be based on what you do for others. You know, you'll be judged on what you do for others at the when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
So every little bit counts. You know, do a little something. You don't have to hit the lottery in order to, you know, to give to someone. You know, every little bit counts.
So do you mentor other artists? Or?
I try to. I mean, the one thing that I really try to do is I try to bring up-and-coming artists. I try to teach them because I think a lot of kids now, especially with technology being what it is,
mm-hmm.
they sit in their own little rooms and they're their own critic, you know. So it's like, well, let somebody hear you. Let me hear you. Let me critique you a little bit, and, you know, let me tell you what I hear. And if, you know, if what I'm saying you can use, then use it. But let someone who's kind of been doing this kind of hear what you're doing. And I do it with, you know, my daughter who's saying,
mm.
you know, I'm always critiquing her, and it's always not beating her up or anything like that, you know, vocally, but it's kind of like, hey, well, let me hear what you're doing. Okay, well, try it this way. Have you ever heard this song? Why don't you check this out? Why don't you sing this one? Sing out a little bit more. You know, sometimes you need some constructive criticism. So I always try to do that with young up-and-coming artists.
Well, you know, nobody does it alone. And so when it comes to music, do you like have to get into like a meditation? Like if you're trying to write something, how does that come to you? Or do you like meditate, get quiet, go outside and look at the trees? Or how does that work for you? I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, there is no pattern. There's no mm-hmm. rhyme or reason to anything that I've written. If someone said that they want to pay me $1 million right now to write a song, I probably couldn't. So it just comes when it comes, and the inspiration comes from different things. I can be walking down the street and see something. Mm-hmm. I can hear something on the radio and kind of, you know, as far as a remake is concerned, and go, well, I can hear myself singing that. So there's no rhyme or reason to the process. I can be talking to you, and you can tell me something that's going on in your life, and I can write a song about it, you know, or something that I may be going through. So, you know, there's no pattern, there's no rules, there's no anything. Sometimes I write songs, and I'll come up with the bass line first, and then mm-hmm. I'll write a song, and I'll have the whole lyric and no music. So there's no pattern to it.
Well, your latest album is entitled Chocolate Drops.
Well, actually, the latest one that's coming out next week is entitled Black Pearls.
So, well, tell me about that.
Black Pearls is a project of 10 songs originally done by female artists. So I've remade 10 amazing songs. So, like, I do a remake of Everything I Miss at Home, which was originally done by Sherelle. Mm-hmm. And Don't Ask My Neighbors, you know, I do some Jones Girls. I mm-hmm. do, who else we got under here? Phyllis Hyman, Gene Karn. So I took all these amazing songs, Nights Over Egypt, Black Butterfly, which was originally done by Denise Williams, and I've remade them. So that album comes out on July 8th, so I'm very excited about that.
Wow, that is insane. I did listen to that, and I listened to Chocolate Drops. And so you sing a lot about love, you know, and in the whole law of attraction world, they say that love is the highest vibration, and that if you can keep yourself aligned in the flow of love, that you can really create whatever you want to in life. So what's your take on love? Because you do sing a lot of songs about love and a lot of love songs and et cetera.
Well, I don't think anyone can define, you know, love itself, but mm-hmm. I sing about what I know about and what I've experienced, and I'm no different from anyone else. You know, my life is a roller coaster, and there's been times when I've been, you know, very high and very much in love, and then there's been times when things have been low and not so good in regards to relationships. So I try to sing about all of that, and I also credit, you know, my longevity to that.
Yeah.
You sing about what you know about. If you, you know, if you don't know anything about it, stay away from it. So I know a lot about love.
So where do you see the music world going? Because it's everywhere. And I know that I'm coaching a couple of 20-something-year-old, and they want to be rich, and they want to be rich now. And so what's your take on the whole music industry?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that think exactly like that, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of the younger artists that I talk to and that I see, you know, kind of have this entitlement attitude, like, you know, this is owed to me, or, you know, I have the look, you know, so therefore I should, and no one wants to put in the work, and I think that you have to put the work in. A good, hard work ethic will get you paid. Everyone can't be this number one, you know, star. It's impossible. Everyone can't be Rihanna. Everyone can't be Beyonce. Everyone can't be Drake. Not possible. But there is a great career even in the midline area, you know, where you don't necessarily play, you know, very small clubs, but then again, you don't play extremely large stadiums. You play nice-sized venues, and that's something to be thankful for as well. So have a great work ethic, and what you get is what you get. You know, there'll always be something if you have a great work ethic.
And so it sounds like that you are really clear about where you are in the industry, that you have accepted that, that you're grateful for that. And with that, you have sustained success.
Absolutely. That is exactly my attitude. You know, no, like I said, everyone can't be a star. And I realized that for me a long time ago. But I'm grateful for who I am and what I have. And there's a lot of artists, as I said earlier, that came and went, you know. And, you know, now they're looking at me like, man, you're still doing it? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's something to that. Patience is a virtue.
So true. And I guess my last question to you is, I've heard you talk a lot about gratitude, and I teach a lot about that on my show. And even scientists are saying now that when you're grateful, that the frontal part of your brain called the frontal lobe lights up, and then it sends all of these chemicals to your body that brings healing to them. So what role does gratitude, thanksgiving, and being grateful play in your life?
I mean, it's a huge role. It plays a huge, huge, huge role in my life. When you travel a little bit more, you really get to see folks that are not as fortunate as you.
Yeah.
And it makes you really appreciate what you have. Yeah. I always try to tell people to leave the country. Get out of the country. Go travel. Go see the world. And when you come back, you'll appreciate America a lot more when you leave the country and you see how good you have it. And, you know, and when you go to some of these third world countries for people that don't have a lot at all, mm-hmm. and they're surviving and they're happy. And that, here we are, you know, some of us have an abundance of, and we're miserable.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to take a reality check every once in a while and look at, you know, how good God has been to you and how good life has been. And, you know, I came to grips with that a long time ago. Like, I'm grateful for what I have. And if it were taken away from me, I'd still be grateful for the gift of life.
Yeah, that's very powerful. Will Downing, it's been an honor and a pleasure to speak with you today, and your life speaks volumes, and your 28 years of sustained success speaks volumes, and I believe that what you shared today will bless people all over the world.
Oh, thank you very much. I sincerely hope so. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Okay, everybody, stay tuned. I'm going to go to quick commercial breaks, and then I'm going to be right back.
Do you have an upcoming event where you need a dynamic speaker? Constance Arnold is a sought-after keynote speaker that will enlighten the entire audience with proven strategies that are aligned with your organization's vision and mission. An experienced speaker for major Fortune 500 companies, Constance has entertained audiences with inspiring change. Constance would love to make your next event an extraordinary success. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Wasn't that just a powerful interview with Will Downing? I am so grateful to have had the opportunity to interview him. Let me give you his contact info. It's willdowning.com, and that's willdowning.com. And when you go on his website, there you will be able to find info about his new album, Black Pearls, where he pays homage to some of the greatest women voices in R&B, including Chaka Khan, we all love her, Denise Williams, and Phyllis Hyman. So you've got to pick up that album. I know that I'm going to do that. Well, he said some very powerful things, and he was so open and vulnerable. And, you know, I just so appreciate that, being the big star that he is. And I always say it's just not enough to know something. It's time to know how. So let's take some of the principles that Will shared and see how we can begin to implement those principles in our own lives. How about that? Okay, the first thing that I want to talk about, let's see. He said he was happy with his career and where it was, and that he accepted his level of success and was grateful for that. He is happy and grateful for his level of stardom, and that's why he believes that he has longevity rather than hit or miss. So what I saw in that principle was that he was satisfied, and there was an acceptance of where he is. And he was clear about his place in the industry and grateful for that. You know, I was coaching one person and he wanted to sing. And when he sent me the demo, I knew that he could not sing. And so I sent it to one of my friends who's a 5-time Grammy winner. And he said the same thing. And so this particular person was really upset because they had very grandiose ideas about being this big star. But what I shared with him was, you know, why do you need stardom? If you have that gift and talent, why not go to some schools and sing? Or why not teach teenagers how to play the instrument that you play? Or why not go to some charitable organizations and sing there? So the bottom line, what I felt that Weir shared was he was clear about his place in his life. So how clear are you about what you want? And I think that there has to be an acceptance about who you are, your gifts, your talents, and your skills. I use myself, for example. Somebody said to me the other day, oh, Constance, you're going to be the next Oprah, and you need to be on TV. And I've done television. And I shared with them, I said, you know, thank you for that. But for this season in my life, I'm satisfied. And that doesn't mean that I don't have goals and feel that doing my radio show, speaking and coaching is where I'm supposed to be for this season in my life. And so it's about taking a look at what season are you in. Now, you see, that may change for me. The spirit may move me and I just may have this burning desire to do TV. But one of Will's universal principles was really knowing his skill set and really accepting his level of stardom. You know, he said, everybody can't be a Michael Jackson or a Prince. But I've been going to Will's concerts for years, and they are intimate. They're loving. It's good if you have a date because, you know, it's a lot of love songs, etc. And so how clear are you about your life and how accepting are you? And I just want to say, it doesn't mean that you don't have goals, but it's just an acceptance of where you are right now. I felt that that was great. Okay. Will saw himself, this is principle number two, being successful, I got that out, and then stardom even before it happened. And so you remember last week, Gary Hines said the same thing, that he saw himself successful when he was just in college. And so he already knew he would win Grammys. And so here's a question I have for you. Can you believe in a future that you cannot see or feel with your five senses? Yet, because you've thought about it enough, did you know that your brain literally changes to look like the experience has already happened? That's really deep. So I could teach on that for a whole show. So research has shown us that you can really change your brain to look like the event has already occurred. And so how much time do you spend believing that your future has already occurred, even though you don't see it, you don't feel it, maybe you've been working on it for a long time? And that's what Will did. He said, you know, we all have egos, and of course he saw himself being a star. But I want to say to you one thing that I want you to do this week, and to recognize it, that you can begin to believe in a future that you cannot see or even embrace. Or can you emotionally, because we know that when it comes to changing the subconscious, that it's the images, visions plus emotions that really impress and impact the subconscious. So can you emotionally embrace a reality, whatever your reality is, that right now just might be a potential in the, or possibility in the quantum field? so that you see that so much and feel that so much that you literally fall in love with that future reality, that your subconscious mind begins to believe that is true. And so you know what happens when the subconscious mind believes that it's true, and it starts sending out signals to your world as though that experience has already happened. You know, and folks, that's really where it's at. You know, most of us are really so connected to our past because our future, unless we see it, feel it, taste it, smell it, many times we just don't really embrace it that deeply. So what Will said, and once again, 2 weeks ago, what Gary Hines said was that they emotionally embraced a reality that really had not, they couldn't touch with their five senses. And remember, in the whole quantum field, that, you know, there are unlimited possibilities. Okay, then let me talk about the Bible. The Bible says that when Jesus went to the cross, he said, "It is finished." And in Genesis, it said that before the foundation of the world, that what a way was made for you. And so it's really living your life and living your future like it's already now. So, you know, I said, let's talk about being defined by a vision of your future instead of a memory of the past. Boy, what would happen if you would be defined by a vision of your future, like you would wake up every morning and even though your circumstances and your environment had not changed, your thinking and your feeling would just be so much turned away from that towards your future that your subconscious would begin to believe that you have it now. That's awesome. So you need to keep your future in the forefront of your thinking. And we know that that frontal lobe, which is, I think they say it's 40% of the brain. I think that's correct. They say that, well, when you just begin to think a new thought, that frontal lobe lights up and it just begins searching, kind of like a computer. A GPS just searching for what Mary is keeping in her thinking, searching for that new vision and those emotions and I have it now kind of feeling. And so begin doing that. Start off with 5 minutes a day just doing that. And, you know, and I'll give you an example of me personally. You know, I've been really working on my arms. I always say I have Michelle Obama's arms because I work really hard with weights on my arms. And I have this black dress. Ladies, we all have a black dress, right? Right. I have this black dress that I wear, but I just want my arms just to be a little bit more defined. So whenever I'm in the gym working out, in my mind, I always see me in that black dress with people saying, "Wow, your arms are so beautiful." And I see myself when I put on that black dress, the emotion of how satisfied I am with the way I look, etc. And that I'm really representing God in a great, graceful and beautiful and royal way. And so what am I doing? I'm emotionally embracing a reality and bringing it to the forefront of my thinking. Can everybody see that? So I'm believing in a future that with my arms that I may not can't see, but my brain just believes that is so, because the entire time that I'm working out my arms, I have my eyes closed and that's what I see. So that's just a great example of how you can do that. Okay. Number three. Will talked about there is more to life than music, and you need hobbies and a balanced life. He talked about having a well-rounded life. And are you a workaholic? Do you ever sit down and rest? That is so important. I just think it's so important to take a Sabbath day, whatever your religion, whatever your belief is. For me, that means no phone, no iPad, social media, TV, or work. It means that I'm just resting, that I'm just chilling, that I'm just laid back. And, you know, let's get spiritual for a minute. Even God rested on the seventh day. It's a universal principle, you know, and in some countries, they farm for 6 years and they let the land rest for the seventh year. And they say for the eighth year that usually the crops just double or triple because the land has rested. What about you? And I really believe that when you rest, that it puts you in a place of abundance, because what you're saying is that I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. I can rest. And I believe that it's during those restful times that you really receive the downloads that God is trying to get to you. And I just believe that while I'm resting, that things are happening, and that, you know, I'm a big proponent of God is behind the scenes working out things on my behalf that I don't even know anything about. Isn't that awesome? Okay. Four, he talked about being consistent and just being you. And you don't have to follow trends, because trends always change. You know, God has given you your own gift. And, you know, trends always change. So what's your gift? And he talked about the consistency in taking small baby steps every day. Here we go again with these baby steps, and how baby steps lead to gigantic quantum leaps. You know, I know some people, they work on one business 1 year and then they go to another business, and then they something else comes out and then they go to another business, then something else happens and they go to another one. And I think you need to decide who you are, what your gifts and talents are. I know, and I love Mary Kay, but I remember going to a meeting and I had my pink bag and I had all of those cosmetics, and I even wear some of her cosmetics now. But I knew that I did not have the time for multi-level marketing. I think it's awesome. You can make a lot of money if that's your gift. But see, that wasn't the trend for me. So he said, be consistent and be you. I think being you is just a great principle that you need to take a look at. So for me, multi-level marketing and calling on people and talking to people, that wasn't for me. But I have friends who are multimillionaires doing that business. Why? Because that's who they are. So we're talking about being consistent. I say, start small and allow it to increase naturally. Great example of that, you've heard me say this before, is exercise. You start off with, I don't know, one sit-up, then two, then three, etc. Now, when I went to the gym today, I did 100 sit-ups. That's easy for me to do. Why? Because I've been doing it for years. It's easy for me to do certain things. I do Pilates abs 3 times a week, and so that strengthens my core also. But I didn't start there. So I think a lot of people get frustrated with their intention because they start too big. And you know, I believe in big. I believe in bold. I believe in gigantic. But I'm saying consistency is one of the main keys that he talked about. He also shared about you need to commit financially to yourself and prepare yourself. I mean, preparing yourself is so big. He talked about mentoring, how he was mentored, and now he's mentoring people. I just don't think that you can be as successful as you possibly could be when you don't do that. So you are your greatest investment. How have you invested in yourself financially lately? You know, I have a client who lives in another country, and I am so amazed at how she invests in herself. professional. She's always going to seminars, she attends mastermind groups, online workshop, and she coaches. She coaches with me and someone else. She flies to the U.S. to participate in special workshops to hone her craft and skill. What is she doing? She's committing financially to herself. And so when he talked about being prepared, and once again, I go back to Gary Hines, because the two of them are kind of saying the same thing about that whole, they're both in the music industry. And he talked about just being prepared and how after 40 years, he still gets up and he practices his keyboard. That's amazing to me. And so what do you do on a daily basis to prepare yourself for your dream? You know, so write that down. Do you commit more to what's on the outside rather than what's on the inside? By that, I mean clothes, designer this, designer that. And guess what? I love design. There's nothing wrong with it. But I just think that the commitment to pay for knowledge, for ideas, for mastermind would change you on the inside, which would give you more money on the outside to do what you want to do. So, you know, just think about investing in yourself. I'm just big on investing on myself. You know, I'll take a class, a seminar. I'm always going back for continual education classes and counseling. I want to know, are there any new techniques? What new things can I do? Even though I've been in the business for 25 years, I want to learn. I want to shift. I want to grow. And so a commitment to yourself financially. All right. He also talked about how blessings do not have to be huge, and that you must see even the smallest things that happen in your life. He says, stop waiting for the big and acknowledge the little things. I love that. And along with that, he talked about the power of gratitude and how, you know, you need to take a reality check and look at how God has been so good to you and be grateful for where you are and what you have. You know, a lot of people talk about the U.S. this and the U.S. that. And man, when you go to some countries and you come back, you want to kiss the ground because you're so grateful. And I thought it was so interesting when he shared about his body, and he was grateful for every little change that happened in his body. You know, that is so awesome. I know somebody who went to have just outpatient surgery, and something happened and they had to have more surgery, and they had to stay in the hospital and was in ICU. And so, you know, I'm really grateful for my health. And so I want you to just take a look at the whole gratitude piece. It's so big. I mean, God is really just showing me over and over about the power of gratitude. So he talked about being grateful. So be grateful on your way to your manifestation. I mean, we're not waiting for our manifestation to get here to be great. To be grateful. So maybe it looks like that the landscape of your life is not changing, that things are just the same. It just may appear to be another mundane, boring day, but maybe during that mundane, boring day, you learn how to be more patient. Maybe God built a deeper character on the inside of you. So be grateful on your way. We're not waiting, baby, until the manifestation, and then we're going to be happy, because we know that the more grateful we are, we're sending out a signal that attracts our desires to us quicker. So rest in that. Rest in the fact that whatever you're believing for is already finished. It's on its way. You know, I have a lot of people say, well, when is it coming? So I tell people, well, maybe a mantra for you could be, God, I'm so happy and grateful that it's on its way. Focus in on what you have right now in your life, not your losses. And do not live in excessive sadness, loss, and depression. Will had to make that decision. Can you imagine being in a wheelchair and, you know, just thinking, will I ever walk again? Focus is the operative word. Whenever you're focusing, things happen for you. They say that when you begin to be grateful, all of these chemicals in your brain begin to send all of these wonderful chemicals to your body that really just fights against all kind of bacteria, etc. So I don't want you to waste another day looking only at your problems and what you don't have. Because remember, whatever you talk, think, and feel about in your life, you magnify. Everybody say magnify. Magnify, make bigger and increase in your own life. And so I just want you to just learn to celebrate where you are. Celebrate where you are. You know, maybe take a day off, go to the spa. For men, might be going playing golf, playing basketball, and just be grateful for where you are and what you have. I got that out. So, you know, they did a brain scan of a person who was thankful versus one who wasn't thankful. And it's so interesting that the person who was thankful, his brain, it just lit up and these all kinds of wonderful things happened in his brain. But then they made the other person think on and focus on their problems, and the brain became darker, etc. And so scientifically, it's a fact, you know, that when you are grateful as you are going towards your manifestation, what? That things happen quicker for you. So the question is, can you give thanks for things that you don't have in your world yet? They're in the invisible world and they exist in the quantum world as a potential. Can you give thanks for those things, even though, as I said earlier, with your five senses, you haven't smelled it, you can't feel it, you can't touch it, and it only exists in your mind? And if you can begin to give thanks for the invisible, what you can't see, it's on its way, then it comes to you quicker. And, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe some of you might, you might be in a difficult place financially. You might not be feeling well. You might be going through a difficult time. But what I want to share with you is that you have the power to choose. You know, just like Will did. I mean, he had the power to choose. And that's why I asked him that question when I said to him, tell me exactly what was it that was in you. See, it was in him. It wasn't outside of him. It was in him. And he had to choose to look at even the smallest things. You know, and that's what I do every day. Just something very small, I'll just say thank you for it. I went into a pharmacy or CVS for my international listeners, a drugstore. And the people were just so friendly. Where I live is not far from there, so I go in there often. So when I went in, the two clerks said, hey, Miss Arnold. And I thought about, wow, it sure does feel great. It sure does feel good and yummy and juicy that they're so friendly towards me. And that may appear to be so small, but I'm almost just fanatical about being grateful, because for many years I focused so much on what I didn't have versus what I do have. And so, you know, when you are grateful, you are breaking all of your agreements with your environment and your past memories. And remember, I said earlier, many of us are connected to our past memories, and we want to be defined, what, by our bold, beautiful future. So Mr. Will Downing certainly gave us some wonderful universal principles, and I want you to think about his interview. Of course, as I said earlier, go to his website and get his new album. But also think about, how can I begin to implement these wonderful universal principles in my life so that I can live an abundant life? You can do it. And go back and listen to this over and over again and really get a clear picture of how you can begin to bring your future, which you can't even see, feel, touch, smell, or anything, into the nowness of your life, and your brain will begin to believe it, and your subconscious will believe it. And guess what? Once your subconscious believes something, you've already got it. And remember this week, be grateful. And this is what I do. I not only write down what I'm grateful for, I say it out loud. I verbalize it. I use my voice to go out to the universe. I'm grateful for having the opportunity to serve the world. So try that this week, and I believe that it will radically change your life. But once again, this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. Tell five of your friends about the show. Visit me on social media. I got that out, on Twitter and Facebook. And remember this, as I say every week, God loves you. He really, really does. You know that I love you. And always remember this, the best is yet to come. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.